Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's a Monday, and it's the seniors. The seniors is brought to you each and every week by our good friends over at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. The perfect stop for all of your Christmas shopping. I mean, they've got a flag for pretty much any person, any sport, any occasion. It doesn't matter if you've got Cubs fans in your family. It doesn't matter if you have Cardinals fans. It doesn't matter if you have Cyclone fans. It doesn't matter what kind of fans is in your immediate and extended family. Heartland Flags would be the perfect place to pick up their Christmas gifts. You might as well just do all of your Christmas shopping on heartlandflags.com. Well, Rob, what do you have to add here?
Beautiful Christmas-themed flags.
Yeah, plus you can decorate your house for Christmas.
Exactly. Make everything look good, whether it's Santa, whether it's a nativity scene. You got beautiful puppies in stockings. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, the Cubs stuff is looks hot like seller as it should be.
They have W flags back in stock now?
Yep. Well, they they're on it.
There you go.
Always constantly resupplying, restocking. That's a pretty cool Cardinals flag. Even as a Cubs fan, I have to say.
I think it's the most interesting thing to me is that they've got, like, they don't just have flags.
Yeah.
You know, they've got, you know, what is this? This is a badge
garden
holder.
Stuff. You got your badge holder.
They've got all kinds of
wind socks.
Customized. I have this flag, this Cyclone Nation flag that hangs in my apartment.
It's a beauty with the old side, the old walking side.
This one, that one's outstanding.
Ooh.
That's an outstanding white. It's got the Cy with the basketball. That is awesome. You can check out that Iowa State flag and many, many others on heartlandflagpoles.com. Or you can check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines. Give them a call, 515-282-7603. So it was a busy, long weekend, Rob Gray.
It was, especially for our fearless publisher, Chris Williams, who did a fabulous job with, you know, our friend Brent Bloom on the radio call for a very, very exciting tournament for Iowa State. You know, the Indiana State game. Got a few breaks, probably helped them pull it out a little bit, but that's a gutsy team with some sneaky good talent. That Indiana State team, like a lot of years in the Valley, there are 3-4, sometimes even 5 teams that either have really good athleticism and maybe not all the pieces, but man, you catch them on the wrong night, and they can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, definitely. And do you want to start with hoops or do you want to start with football?
Well, let's start with hoops since that's still in progress and then kind of put a bow on the football season.
Yeah. So, obviously, Iowa State finishing second in the Advocare Invitational. Jumped up 2 spots in this week's AP poll to number 19. I think I think it's an indication of the strength of Gonzaga. Gonzaga moved up to number 8 in this week's poll. And then, 2, I think that nationally, I think that Iowa State opened a lot of eyes yesterday, Sunday, I guess. A lot of people probably won't listen to this on Monday, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think a lot of people were very much in wait-and-see mode with Iowa State. No George Niang. We saw what Abdel Nader has been able to do, and he had a big senior season, and now, you know, dropping 30-plus every night, it seems, in the D-League, and, you know, some Jameel McKay. I mean, you lost some important pieces and big pieces,
right.
Athletic or your go-to guy kind of thing. And what we've seen, and Coach Prohm talked about it, Naz talked about it a little bit today, is a team that's a little bit deeper, but obviously smaller, doesn't maybe have that same go-to guy, although Deontay Burton did a pretty good impression of a go-to guy in that game against the Zags, particularly in the second half. Interesting team. I think they'll still play as fast. You don't see the same type of flow, you know, in the offense.
Right.
You don't see the same they move the ball around well, but it doesn't seem like it's – George was such a good facilitator and finding open guys. It seems like, yes, they're moving the ball. Guys aren't quite as open as they have been, in part because of how often George had to be doubled. Now, if Deontay keeps performing anywhere near the level he performed against Gonzaga, then that's going to – That comparison is going to become a little bit more apt. He'll never be the same guy. Their skill sets are very different, but he can have that same type of effect, which I think definitely opened a lot of eyes.
I think the biggest difference for Iowa State offensively is that, you mentioned that how much attention that George drew and how many times that he would face the double teams and stuff like that. And the difference now is that I think that they're more balanced collectively as a team, whereas, you know, obviously George was doing a lot and had a lot of production. And even though they're not getting quite as many of those openings via guys, you know, leaving for doubles and stuff like that, you see there's just more guys on the team that are capable of making a play just one-on-one. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you talked about how even it sort of is. And, guys, you got nine guys averaging 15 minutes or more a game. One of them, Solomon Young, who we did get a kind of non-update on today, is kind of week to week regarding his injury, and they'll assess it more towards Cincinnati. But, you see guys, I mean, and we've yet to see this team get really hot from three-point range. It was huge to see Naz hit, I believe, 4 of 9 against Gonzaga. Really kept him in it in the first half when Gonzaga couldn't miss. He's sub 30% right now, and you know that's going to change, and it started to change in that game. I mean, Monte's hitting him at a good rate. Burton hit some. Matt Thomas's rate is going to go up. I think this team, still finding its way as far as that true rhythm that, man, sometimes you see, whether at Hilton or elsewhere, when they're really going and it feels like 3-3-3-3, dunk, 3-3-3. I mean, so that's highly encouraging, being that they're 5-1, faced the level of competition they did down in Orlando and very, very nearly came away with the title.
Well, I mean, they're only shooting 47.5% as a team, but this number is the one that sticks out to me the most, 35.6% opposing field goal percentage.
Yeah,
that's impressive. I don't know where that's at nationally, but that's pretty good. And I think that yesterday against Gonzaga, what they did is, you know, obviously Deontay scores 29 points. That's awesome. The defensive effort in the second half, I think, is what is what's going to make them from a team that's pretty good to being a really good team, to being a very, very good team. And, you know, if they can defend the way they did in that second half, I think they held them to like 24% shooting, they're not going to lose very many games.
Yeah, and
defense can travel. I mean, that travels anywhere. If you want to play defense, then you can win anywhere.
Exactly. And I think some of the guys that are on the team, I mean, that are newcomers to the team, Donovan Jackson, we see how well he defends. They brought in some really defensive-minded guys to fill out their rotation. And we know how much, I mean, heck, on media day, Monte Morris saying he was watching those games with his mom, like replays or, you know, some games they'd recorded and hearing the commentators talk about, oh, we know Iowa State's great offensively, but man, on defense, you never know. Now he's just sick of hearing that. And we're seeing that show up. Granted, prior to the tournament, they played teams that were, I think, lowly is a fair way to put it, just in terms of where they fit statistically and record-wise. It'd be on KenPom or traditional statistics. But, it carried over. I mean, yes, the defensive, they were a little bit late to close out, a little bit late to switch or get over a screen in the first half against Gonzaga, and that might have helped Gonzaga shoot well. But, man, they hit a lot of good shots in the face.
They were just lights out. Sometimes there's just nothing you can do except that the team you're playing is just on fire.
For sure. And, the matchup nightmare for Iowa State was the big Polish fella.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's so big. What is he, 7'1"?
Yeah.
300-plus, three bills plus. Watching guys who are big and athletic like Daryl Bowie and Merrill Holden around him, it looked like, this is literally like an Andre the Giant in the ring or something trying to, And, these guys got a nice touch. And as a European player, most big men, they're really good at finding open guys too, and he did that.
Well, Iowa State's not going to face another big guy like him all season. There's just not many guys that are 7 feet tall that can move, and two, are capable of seeing the floor, not fouling every time down the floor on defense. They're able to move their feet defensively. The way they were able to play against him in the second half makes me feel pretty good going into games when you're going to play against guys like Jonathan Motley at Baylor. They don't need someone that's going to go in there and, block it. They don't need somebody that's going to go in there and block his shots. They don't need somebody that's going to go in there and root him off the block. You just need somebody that's in there that can make him uncomfortable and that can keep him from being able to turn right over his shoulder and shoot a hook shot, or make your move. And during the second half, they did a much better job of being able to do that and keep him just a little bit off balance. That's the biggest thing, just keep that guy off balance.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the press was instrumental in that. I think when they got down, what was it, 18, they really put the press on, applied it very, you know, with a lot of vigor, mm-hmm. and immediately, you know, got a couple quick baskets. And we've seen it, any team that is capable of pressing, and, you know, some teams, that's their signature. Like Iowa teams under Tom Davis way back when. I think Loyola Marymount, which we talked about before, that was a pressing team.
Wasn't Nolan Richardson's Arkansas team?
Oh,
teams?
Yeah, the 40 minutes
pressing.
Of hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that was their identity. But the thing about Iowa State is they can do it in a multitude of ways. We've seen the half-court defense pick up. You know, they've dabbled with the zones. And, you know, they've got everything at their disposal now. And how effective that press was, I think it was the spark that's what changed the game. Because when you're shooting well, and Gonzaga started the second half still shooting well,
yeah,
that just disrupts everything when you're all of a sudden kind of frenzied and you're seeing two guys come at you to trap you in the corner or at midcourt, and it just like the flip switched and they started missing shots. I mean, presses aren't always effective, but it right. sure was in that case, and it's great to have that. Not as just kind of a – it felt like even under Hoiberg they had a little bit of a press, but it was like – last gasp kind of thing, and you know they didn't work on it like they do under Prohm, because the team just wasn't built that way. Now being such a defense centered team, you know, a lot more reps in that way, and man, it's showing up. That was huge, and Burton got going after that, and all of a sudden the big guy for Gonzaga couldn't, you know, he was kind of set off kilter,
yeah,
by that whole thing. So
The thing that isn't so impressive to me about that press, about their ability to switch defenses, is how well they're able to rebound, regardless of which, you know, what they're doing. I think that's where it shows up the most to me, the difference between last year, the year before that, and this year, is you can see the pride that they take in getting rebounds and owning the boards, you know. And then when you take pride in that, you're taking the same pride in owning the defensive end of the floor. And you can just see it. You can see the effort and the energy is at a different level.
Well, and Naz said today he was kind of challenged. He thought he might be underestimated, you know, selling himself short a little bit, but he thought he never really averaged more than 2 rebounds a game previously. He's at 6.8. I mean, you've got Burton at 8.5, and Prohm reiterated today he's got to be the double-double guy every night. He's 14 and 8.5, pretty good, but he wants more. Monte's at 5.2. Matt Thomas is over 4. That number's going to go up.
I think Monte at 5.2 that's pretty impressive. That's just as impressive as Deontay at 8.5.
Yeah, and a lot of them on the defensive end, but that's, you know, yes, offensive end gets you another opportunity to score, but, man, defensive end prevents another opportunity for them to score and gets you going in transition, which this team, again, I know it's going to grow in that aspect.
Well, they had Gonzaga so off balance in that second half, even defensively. I mean, the way they were able to get offensive rebounds, I don't know the last time that we legitimately saw Iowa State, you know, fluster someone because they were just being that much more aggressive than them. And Mark Few even said it after the game. Yeah. He was like, they were just exponentially more aggressive than us on both sides of the floor. And I think that's going to be the thing that kind of becomes a trademark of this Iowa State team.
Yeah, and it's what'll take them, you know, whether they can get to the Sweet 16 again or whether they can somehow get beyond that, you know, for the first time since that Elite Eight trip in 2000. I mean, it is, and you saw it building, you know, from day one when Prohm came in. He talked about how much defense was important to him, but he also knew that this team was intact, and you had to kind of go with what brought them there, and you know, kind of let him freewheel a bit on offense, slowly but surely working in more of his principles and points of emphasis on the defensive end, and we're seeing it kind of come to fruition here. I mean, yeah, a lot of more games to be played, a lot of teams that'll challenge you just as much as Gonzaga, if not more, particularly when you go on the road in the Big 12. But so far, the intensity and the guys' commitment to being strong on that end of the floor has been very impressive.
Definitely. I think when I think back to last year, like, it was going to be hard for them to really be very good defensively, just because, one, George just wasn't you know, he just wasn't a very good defensive player. Yep. He didn't have really the attributes to be a very good defensive player.
He tried really hard, and he got himself to be more or less a
serviceable,
capable, serviceable guy on the defensive end, which is saying something. But yeah, I mean,
and even though you had McKay, I think that there were times at last year where he, you know, I think he wanted to do things kind of his own way at times, and that was, I think that was a lot of the problems that got between him and Prohm there, kind of in the middle of the season. And it's like, you know, it's hard when not all five guys on the team are trying to play defense the same way.
Yeah, and Jamil,
I'm not trying to throw Jamil under the bus, but I just think that was kind of the case.
He cared, obviously, and throughout his whole time.
He wanted to sit at the rim and block shots, and I think they wanted him to be more pressuring, be more of a guy that was going to go out more towards the perimeter.
Yeah, his emotions really got the best of him a lot last season, and you're right. I mean, he filled the role of rim protector in his first season, his junior season, but yeah, you're right. Shift it up, take that next step.
Uh-huh.
And, clearly there was some resistance there because we had the suspensions and everything else. But I think that team could have been a very good defensive unit, but because of the things you cited, they just weren't all that good.
Yeah.
I mean, beyond, you know, kind of maybe average-ish.
Well, it's crazy. You know, Jamil, he talked about his fist.
Yeah.
You wrote the story about that. That might have been 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. When he first came in. And
now I think you can see it.
Yeah.
You know, the way they rotate defensively, the way that they are able to switch, you can see that it's five guys that are playing with one common goal on the defensive end, and that's, we're going to stop you, and then we're going to get the rebound, we're going to go score.
Yeah.
And it's not just, we're down here hoping that you don't score, so then we can go score.
Yeah.
You know?
And even more importantly, it's almost like two fists.
Yeah.
Because of how deep you go in your rotation. And those second unit guys are really good defenders. They're among your best defenders you have in your team. Maybe a couple of them might be your best defenders. So not as polished offensively yet, because a lot of them haven't played at this level yet or are just getting into more playing time in that way. But, man, on the defensive end, guys like Jackson, Weiler, Babb, Bowie, Solomon Young at times. I mean, all these guys are hanging their hats on that. Like you said, it travels. I mean, if you establish yourself as a good defender, that's not going to go away unless you stop working at it.
Right. I like the fist. That's one of my favorite sports analogies.
He was such a great quote sometimes. Clearly a great player for Iowa State. So.
I remember hearing Coach K talk about that on like a TV show or something when I was in high school.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was something that I took back to my high school team. I was like, this is just an interesting concept, you know. Well, in the way he talked about it, it's like if you're like this, you know, your hand's out. And you can't punch somebody that way.
Yeah.
But when you bring it together and you got all five fingers together, that's when you can do some damage, you know. The other way, you're just hurting yourself. And, yeah, I like that.
It's a fun analogy. I'm kind of – well, it doesn't really fit for football. I was going to say master of our analogies, our good friend Jeff Woody.
Yeah,
I'm surprised
the Woodman.
He never deployed it. Yes, the Woodman. Yeah, but that would be like an 11. You'd have to have like an extra finger, you know, that kind of stuff. But
Shifting gears over to football, Cyclones losing to West Virginia on Saturday. I don't have much more to say about the game. I'll say that I don't think West Virginia was 30 points better than Iowa State, even though that was what the scoreboard said.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest difference was the fact that they hit on their big plays and Iowa State couldn't hit on any big plays.
Yeah. Or if they did, it would just get them down in the red zone or inside the 30
right. And
then a penalty here. I mean, clearly there were some bad calls that went against Iowa State in the first half, but the Cyclones weathered that and hung around. What they couldn't overcome, of course, is not being able to execute when they had opportunities to score. Yes, Cole Netton finished an amazing career. What did he hit, like 94%? Missed one field goal this year.
Yeah.
All-time leading scorer. Great story for Iowa State, but you
can't. Do they do a Kicker of the Year award in the Big 12?
I
know they do in the Big Ten, but I'm
not
sure.
I guess it would just be first team all Big 12.
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
I would think
but
he'd have a case.
Wrong. For sure. But, again, in a game where it just boggles my mind that you can go up and down the field, churn out 561 yards and zero touchdowns from your offense, and that's why you lose like that. Like I was saying, good teams, when they put together that type of performance in the red zone and turn the ball over four times when they're on the plus side of the 50, they lose to other good teams by 30 points when that happens.
Yeah.
Particularly when, as you said, whenever Skylar Howard, man, just went downfield It was like when you play Madden or NCAA in easy mode.
Yeah.
There'd be nobody in coverage, right? And you just throw it down there. And Iowa State got off balance in some ways, because of West Virginia's balance. They can run the ball and they can throw the ball. And they struck when it was right, you know, finding Kamari Cottonmoye in single coverage. All those situations, really single coverage type situations. So, tough way to end, but, you know, it's been the kind of the mantra of the season is process and progress. And I think we've seen those things, really, really advance. And I think the guys are really bought in, and everyone to a man, the seniors that were in the room after that game, Brian Bobeck, Alan Lazard talked about it. How instrumental those seniors were to making sure that the process became important and that the progress is in place for this team to really take a next step back toward bowl eligibility next season.
I think it would be hard for anyone to really legitimately justify that this was not a successful season. I know you only win 3 games, but the progress was clear. And then I think that you can take this season, you can take it out on the recruiting trail as this coaching staff and say, we're only, we're pieces away. Yep. Offensive line, defensive line. If we can get some improve on these 2 areas, we can get some more skill players, maybe, some linebackers, some guys that can fill some holes from some guys you're losing. And this is, like you said, this is a team that can make a bowl next season with the skill position pieces that they have. They've just got to shore up those trenches. I think that's really the biggest thing.
Yeah, and I think the way Jaquan Bailey played on the defensive front as a true freshman is hugely important. Yes, they lose some guys there, but I know they built up depth there, and I know there's high priority JUCO guys on both sides of the ball, perhaps in the trenches. And, Sean Foster didn't have to play, and Jake Campos comes back.
Yeah,
they lose some
Julian
stalwarts.
Julian Good-Jones can move to his more natural position.
Indeed. And, Bobeck was huge. I can't say enough, and obviously I wrote a lot about it, but what guys like Nick Fett and Brian Shedda did going from
Shedda the Shredder. I'm going to miss him.
Yeah, indeed. Think of how those guys improved. Yes, we knew where they were going to start from because there's barely a start between them and barely any playing time. Fett, remember asking him for a story I wrote just how tough it was when he graded out so well in the Oklahoma State. He doesn't really play anymore. And these guys come in and they look at these guys and they say, these guys can play. Why haven't they played? I remember Tom Manning talking about why. I don't understand. And they became a pretty good unit. Yeah, you ended up getting sacked quite a bit as usual, but I don't know if any segment of the team grew more immensely than the offensive line did from week one. Well, obviously camp to week one to week 12.
I don't think I've seen Iowa State have a team that got as much better as they did from week one to week 12, week 13, whatever it was. Like, it always seemed like at the end of the season we were talking about how they regressed, and that they didn't do that this year.
Yeah, massive improvements. And certainly week one and week two were embarrassing, to put it mildly. As they many of the players said, and it's just not acceptable the way it was. But when you're starting over with a whole new set of concepts and a whole new ways to develop chemistry and a whole new manner of trying to build a team, at the starting point, it's not going to be pretty usually, unless you have tons of amazing pieces and you just mix them at, you can slide them into place and plug and play. But, the improvement that they made to be in those games really, really should have beat Baylor, really should have beat Oklahoma State. And you're talking about a different kind of season. But, a lot of the other seasons, even the bowl seasons in recent years, they're usually starting out 3-1 or 4-1. And then you're trying, how many Big 12 games can we win?
Yeah,
this was kind of a down year in the Big 12 compared to, I'd say, certainly within the past 5 years. Still a ton of talent, still a lot more experience, still a lot more 4 and 5 stars running around about every other team except for Kansas and Kansas State, which, kudos to Bill Snyder again with that team. That defense is lights out, but just massive improvement. I think people do feel it. Now some will look at it in temper and go, still 3-9. That's true, and they'll say it here in the Jacobson building or across the Bergstrom That's not acceptable, not anywhere near acceptable. We're not going to hang our hat in progress, no moral victories, yada, yada, yada. But for everyone who watched this team play throughout the season knows how much better they got and knows how much better they can get when you get some of those redshirt freshmen in. And let's not forget about the hugely important experience and productivity we got from David Montgomery,
Kanae Nwangwu, and
Deshaunte Jones. We mentioned Bailey, but so many true freshmen getting out on the field.
Jamal Johnson.
Yeah, and others, the long snapper.
Yeah, Steven Wardle.
That's hugely important going forward, too. And presumably with the now Lazard back.
I'll be surprised if he leaves. Like, I will be genuinely surprised.
I think he can make his stock go way, way, way up.
Yeah.
With another 1,000-yard season. Continues to grow as a blocker, which he is. He was pretty good to begin with because his work ethic has always been off the charts. But just getting bigger and stronger makes him that much better. And better attention to detail makes him that much better. And
I can't believe you didn't have a coin in your pocket on Saturday to just give him so he could have flipped his coin.
I wish I had. But, we didn't touch on this, but I know obviously it was all over Twitter. I know you wrote a little bit about it, but why Lanning was only in on the one play, and I guess it was really a non-play. I guess technically he didn't play because that chop block was called. But I do scratch my head about that. Now, is that the difference in the game?
No.
By no means. And, yes, they did get backed up on a lot of those plays.
And it made a lot more sense, you know, Campbell's quote after the game, it didn't really make very much sense. Even once he read it, it was like, okay, that doesn't really make any sense. But the way Park put it, it just made it a little more clear why. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, they didn't have very many situations where it was 3rd and 2, 3rd and 1. And they didn't have very many situations when they're on the 10-yard line. They only had the one. And it's like, that was the situations that he had flourished in. And if you can't get your team into those positions, then it's hard to put him out on the field, you know.
Well, and also you're playing a defense. I mean, he did it against Texas Tech.
Yeah.
The worst defense in the Big 12.
One of the worst rush defenses in the country.
Yeah, for sure. And West Virginia is a good defense. And you look at that team from every position group, that's just a good to very good across-the-board team. And I can't think that's... You know, he's too much of a weapon that way. And he showed that not just with the 5 touchdowns against Texas Tech, but in other games as well. You know, the big 41-yard run he had a few games before. I mean, he not only can get you those short yards, but he can also get you a big game, showing some speed and power, and, of course, then catch you off guard with the 40-yard pass down Lazard or something. So he should be huge going forward as well. And one thing I want to say about those quarterbacks is I love – they're such straight shooters.
Yeah.
Both different personalities, as Park said in one availability last week. Coach Jim Hoffer always tells Joel, you need to have more fun, and Jacob, you have too much fun.
Yeah.
You know, the way their personalities are a little bit different. But, I mean, they're their own worst critic, respectively, and they really, really, really seem to like each other and support each other. So, Park clearly can sling, and the way his back shoulder throws are pinpoint.
I think the thing that this was something that I was thinking about during the game on Saturday. The thing that really sticks out to me about him is just his pocket presence. Mm-hmm. He just looks legit. You know, the way he moves around in the pocket, the way he's sliding around and gets his feet set to throw the football. I mean, that's something Iowa State hasn't seen in a while. And for him to have another year to grow in the offense, I mean, sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, he avoided a lot of sacks and bought a lot of time. And again, the offensive line was pretty solid because it took some time to shake free from some of these Big 12 secondaries, even for good receivers Lazard and Jones, et cetera.
I know he talked to you about how he thinks that he should be able to play at a Heisman level.
Yeah.
And with the weapons that he has at receiver, if they can get an offensive line, I'm not saying he's going to win the Heisman, but why not?
Yeah.
The potential's there.
And the numbers he put up were pretty darn good this season, and they kept building. As he said after the game, another just jolt of pure honesty. It's like, I throw for 350 yards or whatever, no touchdown. I mean, that's just not getting it done, and he takes that on himself. And I think the way this team, the teams the past 3 years in losing seasons, they cared. It's just a very different feel for how they care about each other.
Yeah.
Across both sides of the ball. And I know Coach Rhodes had that at times within this program, and it was there to some degree. I just don't think it was there to the same degree as it was in this first season under Campbell. And no one wanted to win more at Iowa State than Coach Paul Rhodes. And he mm-hmm. won a lot at Iowa State, you know, especially comparatively speaking, you know, historic-wise. But it just the last three seasons, there was just a few strands of disharmony and discord and things. And it seemed like that was still present early in the season a little bit, and that quickly got rooted out, and guys stood up and drew everyone together. And as Coach Campbell said, you want to lead as coaches and make sure that type of unity develops, but players started doing that themselves, mm-hmm. pull things together. So that's hugely important going forward.
Obviously, the end of the season marks the beginning of a very crazy recruiting period. I posted an update on the message board today with just a few of the stops that the coaches are making around the country. All 10 coaches are out traveling today, and I'm going to try to continue to do that every day from now until signing day. So definitely going to be a hectic 9 weeks, not quite as hectic as last year, I don't believe, but it'll still definitely be hectic. It'll be interesting, and I'm going to be right here trying to get you guys everything that I can. Season finale of CFTV Live tomorrow, 12:15, Tuesday with Jeff Woody. We are going to do a basketball version of CFTV Live, but I think we're just still kind of trying to figure out what we're going to do there.
Okay, that'll be cool.
But, so we'll do that tomorrow, 12:15, the last episode with Jeff on the trail. Adam and I will have that on Wednesday. And what do you have on the docket this week? You got anything coming up?
Oh, there's going to be a Where Are They Now coming up pretty soon. You know, towards the end of the month or at the very beginning.
I heard Alan Lazard passed the subject of this month's Where Are They Now.
Yeah, he did in at least one area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, spoke to Todd Blythe, obviously great former Iowa State receiver. Mm-hmm. Great for the Iowa Barnstormers, too, when arena football was still arena football. I guess now they play in something called the Indoor Football League or whatever. But and I remember covering him at Indianola when I was at the Register. Just a really cool guy, and another guy that performed it, got the most out of himself, and mm-hmm. tremendous athlete, and played a lot of different sports. We talked a little bit about specialization versus, so a lot of good lessons from Mr. Blythe there, and we'll have some hoop stuff. You got the Cincinnati game. You and CW will be manning presumably, and just keep chugging away.
Yep. Thanks again to our presenting sponsor, Heartland Flags. You can check them out online at heartlandflags.com. Check out their showroom, 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines, or you can give them a call at 515-282-7603. They are perfect for all of your holiday shopping needs, so get on there. I'm going to go get that white Cy Hoops flag. That's pretty cool.
Very cool. I don't know. I might. I kind of like those puppies in the stocking. You know, those look pretty good for a little Christmas theme to go with the Cub stuff.
There you go. There you go. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, Jared.
Have a great week, everybody.